the synagogue. They didn't go to the Baptist church. They went to the synagogue. Okay? And Paul, as his manner was, went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Okay? He didn't shoot the breeze with them. He didn't debate with them. He didn't argue with them. Notice what it says, he reasoned with them. He reasoned with them. Okay? Now, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ.
Amen.
And of some of them some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. In other words, a great deal of people believed that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. He died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and they believed, and then they called on his name for salvation. And so they were saved there, and they were born again in verse 4. But the Jews which believe not, there's always somebody that doesn't believe. There's always somebody that is not going to believe, and they were moved with envy. Now, why were they moved with envy? They were not moved with envy because the people got saved. They were moved with envy because they lost their group. They had followers. We don't have followers as preachers. We don't have followers as Christians. We're all following Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's the important thing. And so and took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort. I don't want to be described that way. Mm-hmm. Lewd fellows of baser sort. Not the kind of guy you want to bring home to mama, girls. And gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So they caused trouble. They caused trouble. Let me just say something. Anytime you start telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, anytime you start reading the Word of God in public, you're going to have trouble. I saw where a young man was arrested. He was reading the Bible out loud, and they arrested him in Wisconsin. And so we're here. We're at that day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, freedom of speech, except they don't want to hear the Bible. Okay? And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These have turned the world upside down, are come hither also. Now, what's he saying? He says, these people turned our world upside down. They messed everything up for us. What did it begin with? It began with the Word of God. It began with the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God consists of the Scriptures. And this is a reference. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible doesn't become the Word of God. We have the Word of God. There is no new revelation. What you hold in your hand is the final authority for life and living. And we need to understand that. Verse 3 tells us, he opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. That's the gospel.
Amen.
That's the gospel. And so the Bible that he got into the Bible, and what are we to do with the Bible? We are to believe it.
Amen.
I can't, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, in verse 12 of chapter 17, it says many of them believed. And unless you believe the Bible, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. And we must search it. The Bible talks about the Bereans searching the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, you all expect for me to study the Word of God so I can share a message with you every time we come together. I have to study if I preach a funeral. I have to study if I preach special meetings. I have to study for podcasts and so forth. But everybody ought to search the Scriptures.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you listen to somebody tell you about the scriptures. It means you search the scripture for yourself. Right? The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And there's a you understood there for you English teachers. You need to desire the milk of the word. You need to desire to study, to search the scriptures. And so, and we are to receive it. The Bereans received the message with eagerness. They received the message with eagerness and they also were to proclaim it. That's what Paul did. Paul proclaimed the word of God. Now, I want to mention that. I want to share this with you this morning, because let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. I want to share this with you. With that as way of introduction, this is what I was talking to. We weren't talking, we were texting, right?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to get off. You got to put your phone down if you start texting with Darian. It's a never-ending story. But anyhow. And he often says things when he texts that I need to help him with. So I stay on the text with him. Amen, Brother Walt.
Amen.
Fill in the blanks. And so we did. 1 John chapter 5 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. It's just tremendous for us as Christians to read on a regular basis. But in verse 1 it says, "Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him is that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is now," that doesn't mean that that's the way you have eternal life, because that would be working for your salvation. The work of salvation was accomplished when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again. It was all purchased by Jesus' blood. Now, notice, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Now, he starts to say, okay, listen, here's a checklist. This is what, as a Christian, this is our lifestyle. This is the way we live. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood." That means that you can put John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus Amen. Christ was born of a virgin, and he was born, came into this world. God the Holy Spirit planted the seed in the woman. And so it says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. "For there are three that bear record in heaven." This is chock full of doctrine.
Yeah.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. "And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are one in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Life is in Jesus Christ. It's not in baptism. It's not in church membership. It's receiving Jesus Christ. I was a preacher's kid. Wasn't born a preacher's kid. My dad surrendered to the ministry and pastored. And I went, every time the door was open for church, guess where I was? I was in church. Every time we had special meetings, guess where I was? in church. And so I was the preacher's kid. I was a typical preacher's kid. I was ornery. I was always into something, causing some trouble. And I had my tie and my coat on. I could sing the hymns, and I showed up at church. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old that I realized if I had died, I did not have Jesus in my heart. And I received Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. That was the beginning. Nothing else started that beginning. Nothing else ignited that beginning. It was that I trusted that Jesus Christ, I believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again. And as it says in Romans, I called on his name.
Amen.
And so, I'm 16 years old. And it's never been the same. I'm not perfect, but it's never been the same. So I asked Darian, I said, I want you to tell me what this is. And this is the record. Okay? So let's solve the puzzle, okay? Let's turn back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Notice verse 9. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call on upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Back in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, you can circle that word in it. Verse 11 said, and this is the record. What is the record? The record is the word of God.
Amen.
It's not your baptismal certificate or something you've written down somewhere. This is the record. This is the record. This is what has been recorded. Now, why is that so important? Because it's important because this book is God's book.
Amen.
This book is just not some book you grab off or order on Barnes and Noble or you download as a onto your Kindle. This is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the word inspiration means God breathed.
Amen.
And there's two other places that we read concerning God breathing in the Bible. The first part is where God created man and woman.
Amen.
He created man, and it says, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's pretty powerful breath.
Amen.
I would say. For God to breathe in something he fashioned from the earth, right? I mean, I saw something where talking about some guy named Joe Dirt. We're all Joe Dirts. We're all made out of dirt, amen? And God breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. I mean, he didn't just give him breath, he gave him a soul. Every one of us has an immortal soul. God breathed in his breath. And then in the Gospels, when Jesus was getting ready to ascend, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact and practically and prophetically teaching us that when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us.
Amen.
Now, you say, how does that happen? I don't know exactly. I can't draw you a picture, but I believe the Bible.
Amen.
I don't know how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I would think a brown cow would give chocolate milk, but it gives white milk. Okay? So I don't understand that. I don't understand how, when we talk to scientists, they say if the sun was 1 inch or 1 foot further away, we'd freeze to death, or 1 inch or 1 foot closer, we'd burn up. Who's holding on to that out there? You know, I mean, who takes a brush and dips it into the paint and gives us the beautiful sunsets and the sun rises? I mean, who does what we can't explain? Well, we can explain that it's God. And God created you and created me in His image. And here's the thing I want to say. I want to say to you, verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life." Now, what is he saying that? What's that saying there? It's telling us, first of all, we learn about God from this book. Okay? There was a time when you could go downtown and you could hear in the chambers of our leaders, you could hear the Bible. That time has passed. That you don't hear that. There was a time when I was in sixth grade, every Monday we had a Bible teacher come and give us a Bible lesson in our school, public school. I don't know if that happens anymore. Right? There was a time when nothing much happened on Sundays because that was church day. Right? There was a time when the Word of God was respected, the preacher was respected, the church was respected, and that has changed. That has changed. And we've gotten away from the Bible and that's why they're trying to tear up the Constitution, and you know, what they say, the Constitution is an organic document. No, it's not. It's not growing. They're tearing it apart. And so it's important that we understand that this is right. God has given us this book. This book is where we learn about God. How many people have you ever talked to and they don't know who Jesus is or don't know who God is? Who's that? Right? They don't know. They don't know. And so we learn about God here. We learn about science. This is the science book.
Amen.
Now, I got to tell you, there's some animals I've never seen before that they show pictures of. Y'all remember in school when they showed you the duck-billed platypus? Platypus, what? You remember that thing? I thought to myself, I hope nobody walks down the street with one of them on the leash. That is a funny looking animal. But God made that animal. We went into Dollar General. That's one of my wife's places that she worships. Or she goes on a regular basis. She likes that and Kohl's and Amazon. But Dollar General, we walked into Dollar General. We were on Eastern Shore. And this young man, he was bubbly. You ever walked in and had a cashier that was bubbly? It's very rare. Usually they're just going da 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 da, you know. And he was all bubbly, and he was just wanting to talk. And he's talking and talking, and we're up there checking out, Brother Walt, and he starts talking about the woolly mammoth. And I thought to myself, and I didn't say it out loud. I wanted to say it to him. What planet you come from? Where did that come from? We're in Dollar General. We're trying to check out. You're talking to us about the woolly mammoth. You know, breathe into this, you know. I mean, I mean, I'm thinking, what in the world? And he just goes off, and he says, yeah, they're re-engineering the DNA, and they're trying to get an embryo and put it into an elephant and have the woolly mammoth. And then he starts talking about this big saber-tooth something they wanted to recreate. And I thought to myself, you know, I was ready to get out of there and get home, so I didn't want to debate with him. But only God creates life.
Amen.
Only God creates life. And we learn that here in the Bible. In the Bible. God teaches us about government. You know, God instituted human government. Three institutions of God. The family first, human government, and the church. He gave us those. He brought those into being. We learn about that. Okay? Now, and here's the other thing, and here's the thing I want to end with is, only God can give us a way to heaven. Now, I've met a lot of people, they say, well, you know, preacher, you have your way, and listen, I don't have my way. I had nothing to do with the construction. I had nothing to do with what took place concerning us having a way to heaven. I had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, when God saved me, the only thing I had to do with that was I accepted. God held it out. He provided. He paid for it completely. And he said, here it is, and it's yours forever, and you don't have to do anything to keep it. It's yours. It's yours. And he said, he not only said that, he said, but I want you. I want to be your Savior. And he looks down to everybody and says, I want to be your personal Savior. I want to save you. I created you. And you went astray. And now I'm coming to earth, have a body like yours, except he was sinless, and die on the cross and raise again the third day, so you can come to heaven.
Amen.
And he's the one, that's what it's talking about. That word, this is the record. This is the record.
Amen.
This is the record. This is not a doorstop. This is not a paperweight. This is not something you carry with you to church. This is not something you carry with you to church, okay? And the only time you pick it up and dust it off is when you go to church. Right? The Bible says what? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the record. You say, preacher, I start talking to somebody and they're talking to me and I don't know how to explain what I believe. Well, just open this book. Just open this book. Right? I don't have to explain it. I really don't have to explain it. I tell you what, I've been to Bible college. I'm studying. I study all the time. I study. And I'm always meditating on the scriptures. I spend time with pastor friends and former college professors, and I talk. And here's as deep as my testimony goes. I'm like the blind man. He said, I don't know how it happened, but once I was blind, now I see. When Jesus gave him sight, and that's as deep. You don't have to explain, dissect. You don't have to be able to memorize. Listen, when God saves you, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, I told you how to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There it is.
Amen.
That's it. And so this is the record, this is the record, Darian. This is the record.
Amen.
Love it. Read it. Meditate on it. Cherish it. Share it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us, and bless the service to come. Thank you for your word. May it be cherished by us. May it be read by us. Thank you for the record. And thank you that you do not change. And thank you that you came in the flesh, Lord. And one day we'll see you. You could come back today. Bless the service to come in Jesus' name. Amen.